Hello, everyone, and welcome to a very belated episode 195 of the Pika Strategy Podcast. I am, as always, one of your hosts, Emilson, and joining me, we have my co-host, Anomaly.
Hello.
And our extended spring break is over. We are back just in time to talk about Miss Pandaria time running, basically.
Yeah, that and a bunch of other stuff. It felt like, yeah.
There's a lot that happened over the past month.
But even in, I would say even in the last week when I was going back, yeah, there's a lot of news in the last week. So now there's
there was a bit of a lull. So it wasn't too bad that we missed a couple weeks. And then last week it started really ramping up. And so we got some stuff to talk about.
Yeah.
So before we get into that, though, how has farm been going for you?
We'll say it's been going not great, I'll say.
Okay.
We've had a lot, like, I think I talked about this. We've had, I would say, probably the more changes in not our roster, but in roles within our roster than we have in other sort of downtime periods. And I'd say, like, I think that has contributed to just, we've had a couple of rough farm weeks. Like,
yeah.
It's weird. Like, we got over, like, it used to be Sulfuros was our issue. And then, like, last week it was actually Fyrak was the issue. So we haven't had a clean, like, 2-3 pulls each boss, in and out, we're done. But
yeah,
the good thing is, so we did clear the raid this week, got our final Fyrak kills needed for like people to get the achievements and yeah, and that type of stuff, which is awesome. So we are actually taking this week coming up off before season 4, just to give people, I think, a couple days away from the game, because we had it was a rough, I'll say, last week. I'm just like, and the weird thing is, I don't know if other guilds go through this, other people, but it's not like the same person screwing up or the same role screwing up. It's
that's where we're at.
Yeah, it's like everybody's playing perfectly, and then one person makes a mistake, and then all of a sudden on Fyrak you're wiping in like P1 because someone's not moving right. It's a different person each time. So yeah, so went through that.
But old dream rend baits getting messed up. That's a real problem. We've had, I would say, kind of similar, not so much swapping roles. We've had some people re-roll, which has had a little bit of growing pains. Like, we had somebody re-roll from Demon Hunter to Death Knight. And turns out that tinge roll feathers are harder to get when you're a Death Knight than a Demon Hunter. Shocking absolutely no one.
Yeah.
So we've been kind of struggling to get the whole raid down in a single reset. So we've been doing a lot of like, okay, clear most of it, kill everything but like Fyrak, extend, kill Fyrak, rest of the week off. And I don't know. It's been an experience. Like we got through Smolderon, like didn't do the sideways, but we got through Smolderon in like under an hour on Friday. And I just spent like 3 hours on Tindril and didn't kill it.
Yeah. We had a raid like that too. Where it's just like you like, and like for me, like that was one of the first, that raid specifically, that was one of the first Tindril raids I was on Hunter. Yeah. So like it was learning, like, number one, forgetting about like 5 pulls in, I didn't have a pet that could dispel.
Oh yeah.
So like
we had that on one of our first reclears. One of our hunters had been so frustrated by Tindril after we killed it that they went and they abandoned their cunning pet.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Which is, I think, just kind of extremely funny. But then also that they completely forgot about that until we were pulling Tindril. They were like, I don't have a cunning pet.
Yeah. Yeah. So that happened. And then, like, just for me personally, like, positioning on every fight, like, is so much different than playing at least Monk. Where, like, and it's not only different, like, melee versus range, because I think that's easy. But it's also, like, I'm on opposite sides of the boss. On most, like in most points. So like I'm playing an entirely different position. So yeah,
it's always a hard thing playing tank. Like I am almost always 180 from the rest of the raid.
Yeah. And the moment you play another thing, you're like, oh, this is what this side of the room is like. Or like, yeah, I had to do Fyrak seeds. And like I'd never played that side of Fyrak, right? Like the way that we do our strat. So yeah, it's been, I mean, farm's been interesting. I mean, the other part of it too, I think for us, I don't know if you guys have felt this, is like with the item level jump coming in season four, it's just like, there's no point in like
the gear, the gear doesn't matter anymore.
Yeah.
There's nothing you're going to keep from this season into next season, except like tier sets that you're going to use for a couple weeks.
Yeah.
And even then, like, you probably replace it pretty quickly. You probably go from this set, this tier's four piece, to next tier's two piece in like the first week. And I guess that actually gives us a nice segue into talking about season four.
Yep.
So season four, we did not have any information about it when we last did an episode. We have more information now. The main things that we know now that actually we, some of which we knew before, but didn't realize we knew before, there are no affixes. That's, I think, actually the biggest news about season four that we've gotten. No affixes, meaning that it's just the raid rotation.
Yep.
And there's also, of course, Dinar, whereas the season four mechanic from Shadowlands, where you like killed bosses and you got a token that you can go and you buy specific things. Now we have a different currency called bullion, like gold bullion. And it appears that you get a lot more of it.
Yeah.
Like,
it there's a Data Mine Mythic Plus quest, I think, that gives you two. So.
And that's like two is like an item. Two is an item. Yeah. So it's like they're definitely being more free with it than they were in season four of Shadowlands, which seems good to me. Like, that was kind of a little bit of a pain point. Like, there was way more of a question mark of like, well, do I go for the item that's going to be high contention, but it's not actually necessarily one of my best items? Or do I go for an item that only like me and one other person wants?
Right.
And try and get that. So there's going to be a lot more freedom with those purchases, I think.
Uh-huh.
But that's kind of all of season four. Like, we're getting all eight of the original Dragonflight dungeons. Yep. We're getting the Mythic Plus changes that we talked about previously, which is, again, the key level squish. Yeah. So, like, all that is happening and not a whole lot else.
No, it's very, very formulaic thing. I mean, we'll see. We'll see how it is. I think the no affixes I am fine with, because I think the affixes, like, it's not fun reprogressing old content, and it's also not fun reprogressing old content with affixes that make fights considerably harder or just considerably more annoying to do. Like, the dispel affix, whenever that was a thing, like, eventually it became like, let's dodge the bad affixes and like do the raids that don't have the bad ones, right? When they finally open it up to everything like late. So we'll see. I mean, it seems like it's just like a straight raid rotation. I'm wondering where it sits power wise, like how hard these fights are going to be. Like, is Mythic Razagath going to be the same Mythic Razagath that we fought, like in terms of like comparative difficulty, or are they just not going to increase its power as much, so it's generally just easier? But
there's like, everything's post nerf, right? So all the nerfs are Razagath. Like, you don't need Preservation of Ochre anymore,
right?
To like, you don't need one Preservation of Ochre per priest, stuff like that. And that's good. But it's still, the numbers that I've seen, and this is all data mined, so we don't actually know for sure. It's about on par. So like, in terms of numbers, it's looking to be similar to end of season numbers for each of their respective seasons. Which does mean that like, they're probably not going to roll over. It almost makes me like, there's nerfs on the PTR for Echo of Neltharion, for example. They broke the map week aura. They broke the, they actually didn't break the raid list before, but they did removed one of the hearts. Now, instead of five, you get four on Mythic. Uh-huh. I think they nerfed the radius of them again, and maybe the damage of them. Two of those three are real. I don't remember which two. But like, okay, that's nice. That's going to make what was an extremely annoying boss a lot less annoying, especially since this is going to be on rotation.
Right. Yeah.
And I kind of want to see those kinds of changes to like Tindril and stuff like that, you know, like, I don't know.
It's just, I mean, I think my issue with like the rotation, I guess, is fine. It pushes you to do the content, but I think the problem here is that like as a 2 day, like both, you know, 2 days a week raiding guild, like if we have to reprogress, we're not gonna clear it the first time through, which means I'm gonna have 3 weeks of doing other things to forget about all my progress on like this raid.
We will have skips.
Okay. So I guess we could just skip right to the end and then target.
I don't think we skip the first week, right? Like that seems like a bad idea. You want the loot. You don't want to be going into Mythic Razageth with like way less gear than you should have. Doing like Aranog into Diurna could maybe be a thing, because Diurna's much easier than Razageth. Much easier than Razageth. Or even doing a weird route where you like do everything except for Dathia, and then you use your skip to go to Diurna, because Diurna is probably less annoying to do than Dathia.
That's true. Yeah, I don't know what we'll end up doing like through the instance wise, but yeah, I just know. I mean, like judging by the item level jump too, like we're doing normal like the first week. Like like normal, I think, is what, like 5 something? Like, or 490.
It's going to be 13 like level upgrades from Mythic.
Yeah. So like,
just like season three. Yeah.
So it's worth doing, at least maybe not off the rip, but like doing heroic for sure is a thing, and then doing Mythic from there. So
yeah.
I mean, it's, I don't know. Like, I think to me, I'm not 100% thrilled. It's number one, the no affix. I think I like, it would be cool if there was affix that were just like power increases that just like, you do something minor and you get like, there's no like positive negative. It's like, hey, there's a debuff, and if you dispel it within 3 seconds, everybody gets a raid damage buff, like something stupid like that, where it's just
And there's, I mean, like, I wouldn't mind, you know, motes being an optional affix. I do like not having any affixes baseline. I think that's going to make the first round of the rotations way less frustrating when you're going back in and like remembering these fights that you haven't done for 18 months.
Yeah. I just wish it was easier, man. I wish it was like, again, like comp stomp stuff. Like it's season 4 should be fun. So it should be interesting to be like, how fast can we kill these boss we've already killed? So,
yeah. I mean, I think that some of that is maybe set up to have time running, Pandaria time running, fill the role that, FX is kind of did, that kind of variety thing for season 4. Before we talk about that, though, let's briefly talk about some classic stuff, and then we'll jump into the time running. And I think actually it's maybe kind of useful to talk about classics, specifically Season of Discovery.
Yeah.
But we do have some regular classic things. One, Kata Classic, pre-patch, end of this month, April 30th.
Yep, pre-patch opens up then. So that'll be, you know, everything with like, I guess a lot of the world changes will go in, right? And and all world that fun changes, stuff.
Talent tree changes. This is the expansion that introduces talent tree locking, where you like you actually for the first time in WoW, pick a spec and then put your talent points in.
Yep. Yeah. And you have to put like 31 points of that tree.
31 points.
Yep. And then you can go to the next one. So yeah, that's coming end of this month. They're also doing some consolidation of realms in Cataclysm. So all the low population realms, basically you're given free transfers to the high population realm. So if you're basically already on the big ones like Ferlina, Benediction, Whitemane, you'll stay there. And all the smaller ones that no one remembers, you'll be able to move off of. So Blizzard did do a post of that for you. So yeah, I mean, I will say personally, like I was heavy into Wrath. We talked about it a lot, like killed Lich King heroic, like felt really good. I have zero desire to play Kata. And I think it's because we'll talk about this, there's so much other stuff to do in WoW. It's not for lack of like, hey, it'd be cool. Like I don't like Cataclysm. It's more of like, I don't think I have time to put anything into Cataclysm. So.
Definitely. I do want to point out one thing or two things actually that I think is really interesting about this. First off, we've never seen them do actual realm closures before.
That's true. Yep.
This is the first time they have ever done that. That's actually something I need to probably bring this up at work, because I don't, since I've never done it, we don't have anything on the Warcraft log side to handle that. Like, nice. I guess they've done it. Technically, they did it for China, right? When the China region shut down.
Yep.
Those servers all closed. But the other reason is, I think, a very interesting note about why they're doing this. So the text in the post is, we are also going to be utilizing the technology introduced recently in Season of Discovery to allow each of our destination realms to hold a far higher number of players than was previously possible. So there's two kind of, I think, interesting notes there. And it's like, first time we've had realm closures that aren't related to an entire region shutting down.
Yep.
And then the fact that they've got this technology, the server tech that they worked on for Season of Discovery, which, for those that haven't really looked, does not have very many servers. And using that to basically say, like, okay, mega servers are here to stay. Mega servers are a thing that people like.
Yep.
We're going to merge things into these servers, and we're going to use that tech to let these servers be even bigger, hopefully without the huge queues.
Yeah. 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 There was a, and I think I will say that I think this is a good move. From the way that, like, from playing through a couple like expansion launches and even like in early WoW, right? Like, I think people who complain about queues, particularly like day one queues, are really short-sighted. Like, there's always going to be a server, a handful of servers where you're going to get a queue, and then a week later, you're going to get on whenever you want, right? And yeah. So, like,
I mean, Area 52 is like that on retail. Like, day one of the expansion, I sat in the queue for like an hour and a half and played something else while I was in the queue.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, I think this is a good move by Blizzard to consolidate. If they can get these mega servers going, then, like, that's awesome for Cataclysm. I think Cataclysm, of all the expansions, I think is the one that needs it the most in terms of keeping the game alive, because, like, it's unfortunately probably one of the least respected expansions. I'll say, I don't have a nice way to put it, but, like,
I mean, I have a fond memories of Cataclysm. There are some of the zones that I think really stand the test of time, and there are some zones that really don't.
No, yeah. I mean, I think they try, like, I think Cataclysm was them trying a bunch of stuff, and, like, it's just not working, right?
Yeah.
Like, I think there's still good stuff that came out of Cataclysm, but I think in large majority, I think the community would say it's not a great expansion.
Yeah. There's some weird stuff, too. Like, okay, class trainers basically go away in Cataclysm.
Yeah.
They still exist in the world, but they don't do anything.
Yeah.
And like, maybe, are they talent point resets now? I think they talent point reset, but
yeah, they talent point reset, and then I think they still sell dual spec if you still need that. Yeah.
And but that's it. And it's like, you just gain abilities while you're out in the world, and it's like, okay, that's very streamlined, but honestly, like, I kind of like the old way better. Like,
yeah,
a decade and a half later, I kind of like the old way better.
I've been playing COD. I still enjoy going to my trainer every, when I remember, and then when I'm in town, because I forget a lot. And it's like, I have like 30 new skills. And it's like, generally, it's just ranks, like new ranks of things, but it's still cool to like see that and click the button. So, yeah, I mean, we'll see how Cataclysm pans out. I mean, they did say, well, I didn't put this in the notes, but they did say that, whatever that raid is called, Dragon Soul is set to launch in January.
Yeah.
Of 2025, right?
Cataclysm is going to be a very short expansion.
Extremely.
Cycle.
They are sprinting to Mists.
Yeah.
I'll say, which is a good thing, because I think, I mean, to me, Mists is still the best expansion ever put out, but I'm extremely biased, I'll say. So,
yeah.
But yeah, so then on the class, so we can move forward here on the classic train, maybe. We also had Season Discovery launch their phase 3, which included a new raid, Sunken Temple. Where people were not happy, we'll say Blizzard and the community not happy with, we'll say, the overall difficulty of Sunken Temple, which I find absolutely hilarious. In general, I mean, if you guys didn't see it, like, I think it took the world first guild, like, they didn't just crush it. It took them to like the next day to like sign it and actually finish the boss. They got to the last boss or whatever.
This is by far the longest it has taken to clear any classic raid after release.
Yeah. And so Blizzard did push a bunch of hotfixes. These have all been live for probably about 2 weeks ish now, a week and a half.
Yeah.
But they basically have generally just reduced the health of every boss in Sunken Temple by upwards of, I mean, at a baseline at least 23%, but some of the bosses got a 50%.
This is actually only the first round of nerfs. There's another round of nerfs this past Monday.
Oh, that's right. True.
That hit them again. And so some of these bosses have actually had their health nerfed by like 50%.
Yeah, which is
insanity.
Just wild. It brings up a good point of like people now saying like, oh, is Season of Discovery too hard? And it's an interesting design point because we talk about this all the time that like classic WoW, the difficulty is in the solo gameplay and the group gameplay is easy. Right, yeah. Which is the exact difference of retail WoW, which is the difficulties in the group gameplay and the solo gameplay is easy. Yeah. And so Blizzard sort of put a little bit on their head with the launch of this raid in that like the group, the raid, not easy. Like not easy out of the gate. It's definitely, I think, now back to like what you'd expect from a raid classic, but it was an interesting couple first days, I'll say.
Yeah. There's also, I think, a really interesting element of this where the level of gear optimization and buff optimization that happens in Classic is kind of nuts. Like
way worse than retail. Way worse.
Yeah. The week one damage numbers that people do, like week one, people were killing Mechagenere Thermoplug in Nomurgan, and it was like a 8-minute fight. And by the end of the raid, that was like a 1 or 2 minute fight.
Yeah.
Right? Like that's not something that happens in retail. You don't go from Mythic Phyrexian being a 10-minute fight almost to Mythic Phyrexian being a 3-minute fight. You go from Mythic Phyrexian being 10 minutes to Mythic Phyrexian being maybe 6 minutes.
Yeah.
I think that, I've seen like, some like 630 kills.
Yeah. Yeah, so they definitely within Classic. I think that's primarily probably just because of the way Classic fights are built too, and that like doing more damage, like there's no damage stops as we have in retail or like just phases that sort of prevent more damage from being done.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think the other thing too, to your point, is that like people get nuts with optimizing things in Classic. Almost to the point that it's worse than retail, I'd say.
So one of the things from this phase that's come up is you can actually get the Crusader enchant.
Yep.
The Crusader enchant, for those that don't remember, is one of the max level enchants from Classic, and the recipe basically drops from Stratholme, and the primary resource you need to make it also drops from Stratholme. Stratholme is not accessible at level 50, which is the current cap in Season of Discovery, but there's rare elites in Eastern Plaguelands that drop it.
Yep.
So you can farm those and get your Crusader enchants, and it's a little bit silly.
Yeah, because they're like 50, like cap is level 50, but those mobs are 57, I think 58 level elites. So they're elite mobs plus being 7 or 8 levels higher than you across the board. So yeah, but that launch of Classic, those couple of days were really funny. People sort of kind of freak out about the difficulty aspect of it where I was like, so it took you more than 20 minutes to kill a boss. I'm so sorry for you. But no, it's been fun. To be fair, I've actually spent in my WoW time over the past probably 2-3 weeks, most of it's been spent in Season Discovery, actually. Just like leveling, and I haven't done the raid yet. I haven't really hit max level. I actually restarted a character. So started from level 1 and have been leveling up a little priest. So
yeah. My rogue finally hit level 30.
Nice, you're getting
just
there.
Just 20 more to go.
Just slowly but surely. You gotta get in those incursions, invasions, whatever they are.
I haven't done any of the Season of Discovery exclusive stuff except for like getting some of the runes. It's extremely funny, actually.
Yeah, no, it's a good time. So, cool. And then I guess maybe one thing we might have missed talking about is we sort of, before we get into the big thing we want to talk about, which is, of course, WoW Remix that got announced. They did put on inside the Blizzard catalog. So, like, typically they do entries into like the launch or whatever, or catalog, sorry, of like what games are out there. There is an entry now for the War Within Alpha, which is generally a precursor to the actual alpha launching. So now I have entries in it that sort of speak to the War Within, which basically means that like we should be on track for alpha to launch soonish. You know, I think Alpha was supposed to launch before season four. Season four launches next week. So, or well, sorry, not next week, but the 23rd.
Yeah.
So about two weeks. And, yeah, about a week and a couple of days.
We have one more reset after this podcast of season three before season four lands, which basically means like they've got this up on the roadmap. Season four comes after Alpha. Maybe we're reading too much into the pixels of the roadmap, but if that's accurate, it basically means that Alpha launches this coming week.
Yep. Which will be fun. Maybe I'm still on some friends and family list out there. We shall see.
We shall see indeed.
But yeah, no, hopefully we see Alpha soon in the War Within. I'm excited to get into it and God, try not and heal again. That'd be great. Stay away from monks.
You're going to be on a Mistweaver in Alpha.
I probably will, dude. Ugh, God damn it. All right. So without further ado, let's get into, I think, the big news that sort of dropped mostly this week, I'll say.
Yeah.
Which is Blizzard basically gave an update of the 10.2.7 notes, big developer update, which they're labeling as Darkheart as the update name. But this is sort of another .7 patch coming in a couple weeks. And the big thing that they announced with this is what they're calling WoW Remix Mist of Pandaria, which is basically a limited time event similar to Plunderstorm, where you get to re-experience the entirety of the Mist of Pandaria expansion just in an accelerated format. Basically, you get to level up, go through all the raids, get loot, get upgrades, find new abilities, and then essentially, you know, I don't know what you can do at the end, but basically level up through like a remixed Mist of Pandaria. So think of it as kind of like a merging of Season of Discovery type things with like the Mist of Pandaria expansion. And this is what you get. Which is cool.
Yeah. So like just to kind of really put the point on the Season of Discovery analogy, there are two things that are really like Season of Discovery-esque. Number one, level up raids. So according to the post, at level 25, you can start doing Mogushan Vaults as a raid in like 10-player format. Level 35, Heart of Fear. Level 40, Terrace of Endless Spring. Level 50, Throne of Thunder. Level 60, Siege of Orgrimmar. And then at level 70, you unlock the heroic version of all those raids. Remember that Mythic was not a thing in retail until Warlords of Draenor. Siege of Orgrimmar was the first raid to have a mythic difficulty, and that came during the Warlords of Draenor pre-patch.
Exactly, that's when they locked it for Warlords. Yeah, so this is...
The other thing, like you mentioned getting new abilities. So I've spent a little bit of time on the PTR. I played one episode of Fallout worth of time running, and I'm almost level 20, so accelerated leveling definitely a thing. And you do get new abilities. Some of them are existing abilities, like they highlight some gems that you can get in the post, but I don't really think that puts a point on it because I have a warlock that knows roll.
That's awesome.
So like that you is can awesome. Get You can get roll. I actually also have Spirit Walker's Grace, which I'm currently using instead. And basically, like the items that drop, they have gem slots. Some of them are the gems. Some of them are just regular gems. Huh. Some of them are these like meta gems that give you powerful effects. And some of them are like cogwheel and tinker slots. And I'm not sure if that's going to change before release, but those are the ones that give you the new or like the new forms of existing abilities. So like your cogwheel slots, I have one on my boots that I currently have Spirit Walker's Grace in. And I just like, I am a warlock running around with Spirit Walker's Grace, which is a shaman ability that lets you move while casting.
Oh, that's pretty cool. That's interesting. Yeah. I mean, I think that is the interesting part of this is that piece. And I guess the other thing too, that I want to make sure that people understand is that like, these are brand new characters you're leveling on like a brand new server, right? So like it's not like you have like your main and you just port them over. It's like you're right. very, I think it's a look, I think the way that it looks, maybe correct me if I'm wrong, it's very similar to Plunderstorm.
Yeah.
Or sort of like logging to like a separate, almost like it's, game mode.
So the way it works on PTR, and obviously this is not on live, so we can't say for sure, but like you select a server and you create a character and you have the option when you create it to either create a time running character, which is for this, for the Pandaria remix, whatever we're calling it. And you also have the ability to create one on regular retail. In some ways, it's very similar to your choice between starting in Exile's Reach.
Okay, gotcha.
And your choice of starting in the original starting zone for your race.
Gotcha. Okay, so more like that. Okay, makes sense. But yeah, there's a ton of, I'll say, stuff. And then I think the other interesting part about this, which I think they've also come out and said this, is that you can essentially earn, like, through you playing this content, earn transmogs and mounts and things that you can take back into retail.
Yes.
So there is some sort of incentive to do this, like, weird new thing.
Yeah. The other thing is, like we mentioned, accelerated leveling. You can, at the end of, or when the season ends, and maybe before, but at least when the season ends, your seasonal or your event character, whatever we're calling it, again, whatever we're calling it, your time running character gets converted into a regular retail character. So if you take the time to level a character through the Pandaria remix, at the end of it, you have a level 70 that you can take into the Warp Within. So this is, in some ways, like, it's this weird hybrid between like a season 4 event where we're getting old raids, you know, back into the mix. It's also like a pre-patch leveling event, which is often like, you know, if you remember the Legion one, where like there were Legion incursions everywhere, they give crazy amounts of XP. And so people use that to level their characters. And it's also like this like season is discovery kind of thing where they're trying new stuff, they're giving you new abilities and level up raids, right? Like it's so this weird hybrid that kind of crosses a bunch of other things that we've had in the past, fills a bunch of similar roles. And I don't know, it seems very interesting.
Yeah, I'm in a weird position where like I don't know if I am excited about that. Like I'm excited about the fact that this exists because I think this is like a cool, weird thing. I don't know if I'm as excited to do it. And I think, like, I think we were talking a little bit before the podcast. I think my biggest thing would for this would be like, all right, so I'm fine with the leveling piece. I'm fine with doing level up raids, right? Like, but once you get to max, you get to do those heroic raids, right? Those sort of max, we'll say level raids. Like, do I need to find a raid group now to do this? Like, what is, and like,
right.
And like, how difficult are they going to be? Is this like, I'm going back and I'm reprogressing actual Lei Shen heroic Throne of Thunder style? Or is it some sort of like, I guess maybe with these crazy powers, like it's sort of trivializes a little bit of that. But that's what I'm wondering. Cause like, oh, I will say Mists of Pandaria to me is, I'll always say this. It's my favorite expansion. I think it's the best expansion they've ever put out holistically. And I think it contains two of the, honestly, the top two raids they've ever created, right? In Throne of Thunder and Siege of Orgrimmar. Like there is, I would say top to bottom, like it is to me the perfect expansion that hit just right. Regardless of even if monks are included. Like I said, I think monk is still favorite class, love playing it, but I don't know if I want to go back there and sort of go through it this. However, saying all that, I did see that they have, you can get the cloak proc from Mist as a transmog item.
Yes.
And I love those, dude. I think I love the fact, like, I'm kind of torn when we talk about like legendary items like this, because this was, I think, the first expansion that did the everybody gets a legendary type thing.
Which you don't actually get, you can't get the legendary in time running. Instead, you start like at level 10, you do a short quest, like, I guess also everybody starts at level 10, not just the like allied races. Okay. So everybody starts at level 10. At that point, you zone in, you get a short intro quest that gives you this artifact cloak. And as you're doing things, as you're doing quests, killing enemies, all this stuff, you get threads that get woven into your cloak that give you buffs, both stat buffs, like you get permanent, you know, intellect, stamina, or I'm playing a warlock on this, right? On PTR. Oh. So it's like intellect, stamina, all your secondary stats, leech, avoidance, literally anything. And then also increased experience gain. So not only is it accelerated, but you have the ability to accelerate it further by just find like playing the game and finding stuff.
That's awesome. Yeah. So, I mean, I'm kind of stoked. Not stoked. I'm kind of sort of a little bit torn in just how excited I'd be about this, but it sounds interesting. Like I'm glad that Blizzard is trying stuff like this. Like it's,
yeah.
So kind of talking maybe before we even started, but there's a lot of WoW to play.
Yeah.
Right. Like there's, you know, there's, we don't really talk about it much, but there's always hardcores out there. There's Season of Discovery. There's just general old classic, right?
Yeah.
Like there's classic, like, I guess that's all the era stuff. And there's like regular classic that's moving to Cataclysm. You have retail, you have Plunderstorm, which I think is still active for another couple
weeks.
It is
still active. I think it probably go. My guess would be that Plunderstorm is going to go away when the Mists of Pandaria thing comes out.
Yeah. And then you have this Mists thing. And I'm wondering if maybe this is part of their new model, because that's a lot of games to manage, right? And
yeah.
So like, along with now, they're also building a brand new expansion.
Yeah.
Which is huge. So I'm wondering if this is now maybe their model of like, hey, we're going to do this weird thing every major patch cycle, or like around every major patch cycle of like Plunderstorm. And then you've got this time running thing, and maybe there's some other weird new game mode.
Yeah.
And like that's how they sort of layer in more like short term or limited time content without fully impacting, we'll say, like the main games, right?
Yeah. And there's a degree to which this feels like, you know, a Path of Exile or Diablo kind of seasonal character, right? Like you make a character on the seasonal realm, the season ends, it goes to the Eternal Realm. And it feels like that to a degree, but it's also way more experimental than a ARPG season usually is. Like an ARPG season often has like a mechanic that is like the gimmick of the season. And sometimes they're big and expansive, and sometimes they're not. Usually they're not. This is way out there for WoW, which is cool. It definitely, like, you can kind of see this thing going on. And I think it's a little bit clearer if you look backwards a little bit and you look at the Season of Discovery release. So Season of Discovery, I think, was targeted at classic players. Mm-hmm. I don't think they really expected it to be as much of a hit as it was with retail players.
Yeah.
But it was. It came out right before Emir Drasil in the ICC kind of content lull for WoW Classic. And now we're looking at this. So Plunderstorm kind of came out at towards the tail end of the content lull for retail.
Yeah.
We're about to hit season 4. We're about to get Cataclassic. And then I think that this WoW Pandaria remix is going to kind of land in the content lull for retail season 4. Like we're going to be like a month and a half in and we're going to get this. That's my guess.
Yeah. Yeah. Which I think is cool. Like it gives, I think it kind of, God, I hate saying this, but like WoW sort of trying to create a game for everybody, but not a single game, like create like different modes or like different, you know, versions of WoW. Because I'll say that like Season Discovery has been wildly successful in my group of friends that have all dropped out of WoW, but came back for that, right? And I think that's like it's a huge like boon to, or, you know, Blizzard in terms of having players return. I would be cool to see a lot of the underlying numbers that come out when we talk about, like Cataclysm and that launch, because I don't think that has the same impact as like other areas. So I'm hoping Blizzard sticks with it, cause I'd like to see what classic MLP looks like. But yeah, I don't know. I'm always excited for this stuff of like, hey, there's essentially a type, if you have enjoyed WoW in the past, there is a version of WoW, I think, out there for you that you can enjoy today.
Yeah.
Right. It's not going to be the same enjoyment you had when you first experienced it, but like there is a version out there that you can sit down and be like, I want to play retail, the new stuff, or like, I want to go back and relive Cataclysm because like I just like that era, or Season Discovery seems cool. So yeah, I think there's a lot of stuff. And I think this sort of remix piece is like an idea that Blizzard has that I like. In terms of just like, let's be weird about our old stuff, right? Like,
yeah,
and see what we can do with it. I will say that it's interesting they chose Mists as the first view of this, because like looking at it now, and like you said, looking slightly backwards, with once they announced how fast they're running through Cataclysm, or at least releasing
getting actual classic Mists next summer.
Yeah, at that, and then we've just finished this remix thing. So, I mean, I think Mists makes the most sense if I was going to remix an expansion, because I think it's the one that like
there's going to be the most excitement.
Yeah. Because I think it's generally, to this day, I think it's regarded as one of the best expansions they put out, right? But at least personally. But yeah. I mean, I'm excited to see how it shakes out. I don't know. Like I said, I'm not all for the leveling piece. And I don't want to try and find another raid group to raid, like, really hard Mists raids, at least.
Yeah, and that's so I guess actually one thing that I think we forgot to mention, but this is retail abilities, retail talents, classes. Like, you can play a Demon Hunter in Mists remix. You can play an Evoker in Mists remix. So we're not getting like old Mists talents. I'm sorry to burst your bubble. You cannot go back and play the Mists Mists Warlock, right? That was super popular. Like, you have to wait for actual Mists Classic next year to do that. However, you can do the raids and you can go back and do the content. And like, we made the analogy of the Season of Discovery.
Yeah.
And I think it's a pretty useful analogy. I think that there's an element of this that is potentially going to be a miss. In my mind, it's a miss. And that is like the gem stuff. I think the getting other classes abilities is super cool. And like, they picked some really good ones, like getting Spirit Walker's Grace, getting Roll. Like, those are cool, fun things that kind of open up a class that maybe isn't super high mobility normally. But then you have these other ones. And I think these ones kind of dominated the conversation early in the like kind of news cycle about this, because they're kind of just really overtuned right now. Yeah. And they're basically like Shards of Domination, right? Like, you have this stuff. It's like, you know, okay, Life Storm, equip, this is a meta gem. When you equip it, you can summon a storm, calling down bolts of lightning. They do damage. And then during the storm, flowers grow. And at the end of it, those flowers heal people in your group and give them a bunch of haste. And it's like, okay, that's cool. It's like, the numbers on it are all really good. And it's just doesn't. It's just Shards of Domination.
Yeah.
And I don't really find that super, like, Shards of Domination or Azerite Essences, like those kind of things. And I don't really find them that compelling. And to kind of highlight them instead of doing something like the Season of Discovery runes, which I understand are a lot more effort, right? Like, giving out new runes to classes is a lot more designer time than like these generic abilities.
Yeah,
but I think it probably is worth that designer time to do that.
Yeah, I mean, it would be, I think that would be a little bit better. I think you're right. Like, there's an element of how many people they have actually working on these, like,
yeah,
weird, like, almost like incubator type ideas. Yeah. I don't know. They did come out with a couple of things. Maybe we can talk about this. There's a couple of things that aren't coming back, I'll say.
Yeah.
Challenge modes. So this was the first expansion that sort of delved into like five-man content being a competitive thing. So they had challenge modes, which essentially was the precursor to Mythic Plus. It was defeat a instance within a time limit. And then if you did that, you got a piece of armor you could transmog. And so like, if you did all eight, you eventually got a full set. And so those challenge mode sets are not coming back. Yeah. You've already mentioned the legendary cloaks are not coming back. And a lot of like the original, achievement based like mounts and rewards are not coming back.
Yeah,
there'll be recolors of those things, but not the original effect. So, like, you're not going to get whatever mount. Like, you're not going to get the the Scorpion mount that Siege of Orgrimmar dropped
for killing Corcron one. Yeah,
yeah, for killing heroic. What's his name?
Garrosh.
God.
Yeah. But I will say they have stuff like there's this golden Elegon mount that is very cool. that you can get for doing you know, the Pandaria remix. So there is cosmetic stuff. It's probably going to be a good way to level characters in advance of the War Within. But it, yeah, like you said, it's not a way to go back and get your challenge mode achievements. It's got not a way to go back and get your, you know, unique heroic Garrosh mount.
Yeah.
And things like that. But I mean, I would have liked, I didn't really like, I was very casual at that point in time. I did not do any of the raid content. I actually have like one of the Garrosh heirlooms just because a friend of mine raided and we're like, we're doing sales and have an empty spot. I asked if we could bring you in, like, do you want to come? And I was like, yeah, sure, I'll come. And so I have the Garrosh heirloom bow.
Nice. Nice.
And you know, so I would have liked the opportunity to go and get those, but I understand why they didn't. Like, kind of the same thing when they brought back the Mage Tower, like, we're not giving you the Mage Tower skins, but we will give you these cool recolors of the Tomb of Sargeras tier sets that in some cases are actually much better than the Tomb of Sargeras tier sets.
Yeah. Yeah, no, yeah. So, I mean, this isn't, I think you kind of said it too, but this isn't Mists of Pandaria classic by any stretch of the imagination. This is sort of a very singular thing that you can go and you can participate in. And some of the, like, actually participating gives you something in retail you can use, like mounts, transmogs, things like that. So, well, I mean, I'm definitely interested. Like, I'm glad, like, I don't want to be negative about this because I think Blizzard needs to do more stuff like this. I think they have, and we've talked about this, they have a ton of content they just don't use. Like, just actually, content's the wrong word. They have a ton of assets they just don't really get to use anymore.
Yeah.
And it's almost felt like they've had a little bit of a reverence for the old stuff where, like, you don't want to mess with, like, miss because, or like anything older, right? Because like, it's a point in time, it's like this crazy thing, and I think they're starting to break that up a little bit.
I think Season of Discovery opened the floodgates for that.
I would agree. I think too, it's like it they saw the reception, you're right, to that, and people being like, no, this is cool, like, it's, I still enjoy classic, I enjoy that structure, but like, now I have something new to go back and experience. I get to have like similar experiences to maybe the first time I went through this. Now I get to have a almost that same dopamine hit, right?
Yeah,
like, it's not first time you walk into Ogrimmar type stuff, but it's like, oh, like, I didn't realize, like, this quest, like, this new rune I had to go and get was weird, or like, you know, going and doing Nomergon as a raid is cool with like my buddies using like classic abilities. So
I do think that's one thing. My bet, like, obviously this has not gone live yet, so there's a lot of room for me to be wrong on this.
Yeah.
My bet is that the next remix, and I believe that there will be another one.
Okay.
But I believe the next remix after this will look a lot more like Season of Discovery in terms of like the new abilities that characters get, and a lot less like Sanctum of Domination.
Yeah. I think that's fair. I guess from my point of view, it would depend on how long these remixes end up being in terms of how long they're active, because there's an element of like, it would be cool if they did it more in like the secret fashion, which I guess runes aren't that secretive because they get found out in less than 24 hours anyway, but like the idea of being a little bit more under the wraps and less around like, oh, these are just, like gems you slot into equipment and you get new ability. Like, it's like an ability you have to always change, like maybe engraving armor is the way that they do it. So,
yeah.
I mean, that would be cool. I guess it would be interesting. But like, to me, I guess maybe what I'm a little bit more interested in is maybe how these abilities change the way you like approach the old boss fights. Because I guess that could be cool. It's like, because I guess now you have access to like your current abilities. So like, you know, you're not playing old war.
So right now we have Spatial Paradox. That's a augmentation of Ochre ability that's super powerful. You really want to have it for a Disc Priest or a Mistweaver on Phyrak and on Smolderon. They're very good. One of the things that's actually going to be nice is like, how do those classes change? Like, how does the ability to play those classes change when they can just have Spirit Walker's Grace, which is like Spatial Paradox, but it's just a personal cooldown that you can hit when you need it, and you don't need any external person to give you this cooldown.
Yeah, I mean, like, Winds on Lei Shen will be easy to heal. Like, not that they're really difficult at the time, but, like I say, were. But, like, yeah, like, you'll have access to that type of stuff. Plus, like, a lot of the classes, like, we're not even thinking about, like, just abilities classes have now they didn't have back then.
Yeah, they didn't have back then. Yeah, absolutely.
And how that changes some of it, so.
Yeah. Like, tank power levels are at a high point since potentially Warlords of Draenor. Like, I think Warlords of Draenor is the last point at which tanks were as powerful as they are now, probably.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you're missing, I guess with these, you're missing Vengeance.
Yes.
Which was a thing in Mists. Yeah,
in Mists.
It was always fun. I played a Paladin tank for that, and it was like, I loved being like, all right, I'm going to sit down and turn my back to this boss and hope I get crit so I get high Vengeance stacks to start with. So,
yeah. There is one more element of this that I think, like, we mentioned you can get Transmog. Obviously, you can get Transmog by doing the raids as level up raids. You can go and you get, you know, your normal Throne of Thunder and Heroic Throne of Thunder Transmogs by playing this content, going and doing the raids. There's an additional thing. You can get bronze, basically bronze bars, more or less, drop.
Uh-huh.
It's just one of the things that you get. Like, I got like 400 something of them on my level 18 Warlock that I spent like an hour playing, right? You get quite a bit of them. And you can go to the bazaar and buy basically these transmogs. So, like, if you are trying to get Mists of Pandaria transmogs and they just don't drop from the raid or you lose the rolls or whatever, you are not out of luck. You have the ability to go and spend these at the bazaar to get content from this era of WoW.
Uh-huh.
In a much more deterministic way. I don't believe the bazaar has literally everything, but it's a lot.
Yeah.
And yeah. Kind of counter to that, there's no auction house on this.
That is true too. Oh, that's which right. They mentioned that. Yeah.
Yeah, there's no auction house, which is going to be very strange. Like,
there's no farm either, which is like.
Oh, is there no farm?
There's no farm. I read that earlier today too. Yeah. So they got rid of the farm.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's like max level daily content. I don't know.
It feels like this is very much a like, hey, level up through this cool new thing, get some new powers, have fun, and then do the raids. And then if you really want to chase something, chase it. But like, if you do at least that, that sort of track, you've hit what we want you to hit in terms of content there.
The economy stuff is kind of interesting to me because of one of the things that I think is very unintentional about Season of Discovery, right? It came out, huge gold inflation, people turning in quests for the gold, and then GDKPs in, of course, Black Vat of Deeps, and then Nomurgan for a bit. And they shut down GDKPs, and they're doing some stuff to deal with the auction house, like gold inflation.
Yeah.
But I think the whole economy thing in what is basically this short-lived seasonal realm, I wonder if they're looking at Season of Discovery and like, we regret this.
I would say maybe a little bit. I think the other problem too is like the Season of Discovery stuff too is also just like you don't like people because you know so much now, like just people know what to target. So like I had a buddy who like, out of they've changed this since then, but like there's a fish that, well, there's two fish. One's a summer fish, one's a winter fish. And so one fish can only catch for half the year, the other fish can catch for the other half of the year. And the winter one is a crit based food, I think you can make with it. So he basically bought out the auction house 2 days before the summer solstice
switch over.
Yeah. And then began to repost everything at like literally 1000% markups, like just like, just like ridiculously high markups because he realized that happened. And like, he was not the only person. So it's just I think the problem nowadays is like the economy side of a lot of this older stuff is that eventually people will figure it out. And then once they do, they will make a lot of money and they will pull basically those prices up for everyone. Cause like, I'm just like, I'm leveling, doing my thing. And they're like, I was talking to this, like my buddy who has done nothing but play the auction house since the start of this. And I was like, oh, I don't have a sleeping bag. It's going to suck like running around to get this item. Like, you have to run around the world basically. He's like, oh, you just buy summons. They're like cheap. It's like maybe like 8 gold to like get summoned around. I was like, I have literally 2 gold, like, and I have to buy skills next level. Like, I have like, no, that's more than I own. And he's like literally got thousands of gold, like at level 50, which is just wild. So
It's very different. Like, one of the things, like, you can, I've mentioned every time we talked about Classic, basically, we talk about gold, I'm like, Swift Pistol.
Yeah.
It's, and that's one of those things where, like, the more the value of gold gets deflated, so you need more gold to buy stuff, the more money you make selling Swift Pistol, because it's all max level players wanting to buy it.
Yeah.
And so it actually kind of is just stuff like that, that like tracks the amount of gold that people are spending, that helps keep you in. So like, I've got like 20 gold.
Nice.
On my level 30 rogue.
Well, you should do what my buddy does, which is, there's items you need for one of your runes. There's a quest guy where you have to turn in like various items for other professions to like get a rune. Okay. And it's used by a lot of different, it's the Grisby rune, if you've heard of it.
Okay.
But you have to kill these shredders in Stone Talon Mountains to get one of the items.
That's why those fuckers were there.
Yeah. So guess what he has done? He has a max level warlock. Warlocks get an ability called Immolation Aura. They can also set your pet on whatever, like support.
Aggressive.
So aggressive. So he sits there in Stone Talon Mountains, AFK, doing work, and just loot comes back every like 5 minutes and loots like 20, 30 bodies worth of stuff.
Like, okay, that's, that explains a lot, actually, because I was just leveling as I, like, I just hit level 30. I was going through Stone Talon Mountains and I was doing some of those quests there and having to deal with, like, you know, at the time it was level 40 because phase 3 hadn't started yet, but level 40 characters sitting there doing things. And then when I came back and was playing some after phase 3, level 50 characters sitting there doing things.
So a lot, you still need those runes. So, it's funny, but the no auction house in the remix, I think, is a good thing. I think it's just because this isn't meant to be a long term thing. So like, the use of the auction house isn't needed. And I'm assuming it's one of those things too, where it's the raids. Maybe this is sort of the point where like the raids themselves don't need the level of consumables.
Yeah.
That you would need. So like maybe the,
well, that's one thing. So you can probably do crafting. I would bet you could do crafting.
I can do crafting, but it's the idea of like being able to easily post things through the auction. Yeah. Like that's what I mean more. Yeah. It's like,
well, you're getting so much borrowed power basically from doing this. Like your cloak by itself is going to be a huge stat buff. Like that's your world buffs, like your classic world buffs in Pandaria Remix is just your cloak.
Yeah.
And it's just by going out and playing stuff in the world, you get stuff for it and it gets more powerful, and it's just going to make you even more powerful as time goes on. Right. And then of course all the gems, all the tinkers, all that stuff, making you even more powerful. So I think you're right about like consumables are probably not going to be a big deal. I kind of feel like these are going to be easy, but there's one more thing that I wanted to touch on before we go.
Yeah.
And that is, there was a data mined mythic Siege of Orgrimmar achievement.
Yeah.
That's really, so, okay. If it were mythic Siege of Orgrimmar on regular retail, that we could just play with our regular retail characters as part of season 4, that would be really nice as like a season 4 thing. Like we've asked about, like, you know, what if season 4 had mythic Nighthold, you know?
Yeah.
That would be cool. With the level up kind of prerequisite, like we can't be like, okay, everybody has to level up your Season of Pandaria character.
Yeah.
And then we're going to do Mythic Siege of Orgrimmar. So I'm not quite sure where this fits in, but then again, it is a data mined achievement for 10.2.7. Maybe it's actually going to be on retail.
Maybe. And it could be a bug too, because they did data mine the Realm First achievements.
Yes.
Again.
Yes.
And Blizzard came out and said those things are not coming back, which
I do wonder if they were to, like, there's a lot of things that we see in the data mining that are like a designer played around with it and it just didn't get removed.
Yeah.
So it could very well be that they were playing around with that design and they were like, no, this actually isn't something we want to encourage. And so we're just not going to give them, but they didn't actually go back and remove the achievements, right? That could be the case as well. Like they said a bug, but that may just be them saying like, we thought about it and decided not to.
Yeah, not to do it. Yeah. Yeah, we'll see. I mean, it would be interesting to see if they actually brought back like an actual mythic version of Siege of Orgrimmar. Because, like, all to this day, that is my all-time favorite raid. Like, there is,
yeah,
there is nothing like I'll take Throne of Thunder. Like, we can fight about Throne of Thunder and Siege of Orgrimmar as, like, you know, one.
I've never done either as, like, actual raid content. So that's actually one thing that's really exciting for me is you can't go and do these raids on retail in any meaningful way. Like, you can go one shot all the bosses, but, like, you're not going to get to do the bosses. You know?
Yeah.
I did the LFR version of a lot of this stuff in Mists of Pandaria in order to do the legendary cloak. Like, I've got the legendary cloak from Pandaria. I've got the legendary ring from Wad.
Yep.
And I just got that. Like, you do the steps that need you to do the raid, you just do them in LFR. Which, ironically, is also something that a lot of actual raiders did so they could have their stuff done before raid.
Yep. I definitely was a LFR raider on Tuesdays, like afternoons when servers came back up and missed for sure. Yeah. Yeah. Wait, like during work, trying to get that stuff done before. So,
yep. But I've never done these like as actual raid content. So that's one of the things I'm going to be playing this. Awesome. I'm going to be going, I'm going to make a point of making sure that I go through and at least get to do Throne of Thunder.
Yeah.
If not also Siege of Orgrimmar. And, you know, it's not going to be the same as doing like heroic Siege of Orgrimmar progression.
Yeah.
But it's going to be it's going to be a lot closer to it than doing a transmog run of Siege of Orgrimmar, right?
Tonight. Yeah. Or today during on retail. Yeah. No, that's awesome. I think I'm excited too. I don't know how much I'll get into this because like I said, there's a bunch of other WoW to play. But no, this is, it's a cool thing. And I hope Blizzard, number one, I hope Blizzard makes it good and the community sort of is excited to do it. And so I hope it's like a win-win in terms of like Blizzard wanting to invest more time into like weird stuff. Like I said, Plunderstorm, not for me. I got to level 40, but it was cool that they went out and did this. Like it was a cool thing for a couple weeks. So I'm hoping they do more stuff like this. So
I have not finished the Renown grind for Plunderstorm. I wasn't going to do it. And then I saw the set that you get for like the 30 to 40 renown range.
That's my translog right now.
I was like, oh my god,
looks so there's a
last thing and then we'll wrap up, but like there's a my character is named Eisenpelts and my long-term like monk main is Eisenpelts, and so people call me Eisen in the guild. We're a bunch of weebs, so there's this anime called Bleach. The villain is Captain Eisen.
Nice.
So that's been a meme in the guild. I went out of my way. I went back and did the WoD like naval table.
To get the captain title?
To get the captain title. And so I've got some like, and then I've got some BFA transmog items that are like pirate themed.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
And so now I'm like, okay, maybe I go through and I get this pirate transmog set. From Plunderstorm. I may not go all the way to 40. I may go to 30 because there's a different set that you get for the 20 to 30 range.
Yeah.
That is also pretty good. I may not go all the way to 40, but since it's not like, I don't know, exponentially increasing like renown requirements.
Yeah.
Maybe I do. Because I actually do like Plunderstorm. It is fun. It's just a question of time.
yeah. Time. And I mean, now with all the changes they made, it's like you just drop in a specific area with a bunch of mobs, kill a bunch of mobs, and then get in a fight. And if you win it, great, move on. If not, just go next.
Yeah.
It's still pretty quick. It's probably like a level every like two games or something now.
Yeah.
Two and a half
that games, was actually so. One of the things that, okay, we should really wrap up. But one of the things like I was doing wrong is not getting into fights, just like trying to live till the end.
Yeah.
And like that, you don't get any renown for time spent. You get renown for killing mobs, and then once there's no more mobs to kill, the only way you get more renown is by killing enemies and taking their stuff.
Yep, exactly. Yeah, that was my biggest thing. Was like I used to drop at a very like a one or two spots, but a very specific spot that always had three chests and a bunch of mobs around it. Drop there. It's on like the far west side.
Yeah.
And like kill a bunch of mobs and I'd leave that area being like level 6 and then like try and kill as many players as I could once I got out there. And then if I die, it's whatever, just go next. But if I kill them, then like, yeah, I'll end up with like, you know, 1800 renowned or whatever. Yeah. And maybe not even win, which is awesome. So,
and it's like 2500 per level. So
gotcha.
Anyway, but yeah, that is going to be it for the show today. Thank you all for watching and or listening. And if you enjoyed this podcast, you want to support it and the other work that we do over on the Peak of Serenity, you can do that over at our Patreon at patreon.com/peakofserenity. And of course, come and join the Discord. It is the best place to come and bother Anomaly about the best Mistweaver build for heroic remix Siege of Orgrimmar Garrosh progression. Dude.
I can't wait. I can't wait to do that theory crafting.
Yeah. But that is going to be it for the show today. Thank you all for listening, and we will see you next week.
Bye.